believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he's the same God as he's always been. Let's go to the word of God, Genesis chapter number 14, for a few moments tonight. Genesis chapter number 14. By the way, the God of Genesis is the God of today. Amen. We thank the Lord for it. We thank him that he never, ever changes. Now look now as we continue where we were last week, preaching through this book in the word of God. The Bible says, verse 14, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavi, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you have thy blessing through the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We entitled this section here in Genesis chapter 14, Good Looking Out. Last week we defined this colloquial phrase, good looking out, is when you really look out for someone who couldn't look out for himself. You help someone out of something that he couldn't get out on his own. You stand in the gap. You take the initiative to assist someone, to defend someone, to save someone who's in a need. And in this passage of scripture, the one that's responsible for good looking out is Abram. We found ourselves in Genesis chapter 14, continuing the life of Abram, watching in, if you would, on some raging conflict. I explained last week that there were five city-states in the plains of Jordan. These four eastern city-states made up these kings decided they were going to go in and invade these five. This king had ruled over these five for some 12 years, if you would. In the 13th year, the Bible says they rebelled. And in response to that rebellion in the 14th year, this king and these three other kings decided, we don't like you rebelling against us. And by the way, the forces of evil never like you rebelling against them. And so they're going to go in and impose their will. And we understand that these five city-states of Jordan, including Sodom and Gomorrah, were strongly defeated by these four eastern states. These that were in these five city-states, including Sodom and Gomorrah, were stripped from their land. Their women were taken. Their children were taken. Their goods were taken. Everything was taken. And it doesn't really seem like this war is relevant to the life of Abram, except for the fact Lot was taken. We said last week that sometimes the wars of the world really have no dealings with us except when people of God get caught in the middle of them. And Lot shouldn't have been in this war. He shouldn't have been taken from Sodom because he shouldn't have been in Sodom. And by the way, young people and adults alike, when you go the wrong place, you're going to end up in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong predicament. So Abram finds out about it. He finds out that this raging conflict involves a relative captive. Somebody tells him Lot's been taken because he was in an improper place and an inevitable predicament. And all of a sudden, Abram commences what I call a rescuing compulsion. This is a coordinated team that he has. He's found himself dwelling in a land. We heard just a few moments ago, the missionary said, Abraham went not knowing where he was going to go, among people that he did not know. And yet the Bible says, although he was a stranger in the land, a pilgrim moving through, he gathered himself some confederates. He gathered himself some friends. He lived in a way that even though he didn't belong there, he wasn't staying there, there were people that had joined in companionship with him. He gathered them together. He was burdened. He trained them. He armed them. By the way, if you're going to go into the world's domain, you better go in armed. Somebody say amen. He armed them. He trained them. This committed task, this compassionate task. What do you mean this compassionate task? Hey, God was testing Abram. Lot left you. Lot abandoned you. Lot went his own way. Do you still have a burden for him? I wonder tonight, is anybody in your life that's gone the wrong way? Anybody you know that's gone left? Anybody you know that's left the will of God? Could I tell you, leaving the will of God is never the right thing to do? Leaving the will of God is never something God condones. Leaving the will of God is never something God excuses. But may God help some of us who are still in the will of God to have a burden for those who are not. And Abram said, we got to go get him. He commissioned some troops and he completed the triumph. Notice what the Bible says. He brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. I'm talking about good looking out. And by the way, folks, you can't go save anybody out of a bad predicament if you're in a bad predicament yourself. Somebody say amen. You can't get anybody out of a bad land if you're in a bad land. That's why it's important to stay in the will of God, to stay in the word of God, to stay in the work of God. Listen, young people, you'll watch your friends, you'll watch your familiar faces that will go the wrong direction. It could be years from now, people you went to school with, that you graduated with, they'll abandon this book, they'll abandon their morals, they'll abandon their principles. Listen to me, beloved, churches will go the wrong directions, movements will go the wrong direction. Our country will go the wrong direction, but God's looking for somebody in 2017 that believes that right is still right, that won't move, because there's coming a day when you're going to have to go on a rescue mission. Some of you Christians never been on one. You serve the Lord long enough, you hang out with Jesus long enough, you get a burden for people. I said, you hang out with Jesus long enough, you get a burden for people. I don't care what anybody says. This Pharisaical attitude that happens among Christian people is not something they learn from Christ. Amen. You learn holiness from Christ. You don't learn haughtiness from Christ. Amen. You learn compassion from Christ. You don't learn conceit from Christ. Amen. Amen. You learn having a burden from Christ. You don't learn boasting from Christ. I'll tell you what America needs. It needs some people that'll go after the prodigal, that'll go after the wayward, that'll go after the wanderer. And you can't save a wanderer unless you're not wandering yourself. And this whole movement of being like the world won't save the world. I want you to notice the ready consecration of Abram. We'll hesitate a little while at verse 17 and look at verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. You know, it's amazing that when you do the work of God, God always knows when to show up. I wish somebody would say amen. Abraham has been in a battle. He's expended energy. He's got weary soldiers that didn't plan to war. They warred because the circumstances called for that. By the way, you're going to be a Christian. You got to be ready for war. You can't predict when trials come. You can't predict when conflicts come. Listen to me. I'd rather shout and celebrate Jesus every day of the year just like you. But the fact of the matter is, we're living in a sinful world. We've got a wicked flesh and we got a lying devil. And sometimes in the middle of the good times, we got to go to war. And after he went to war, a supernatural presence showed up, Melchizedek. What do you mean supernatural? We don't know where he came from. We don't know who his mama is, don't know who his daddy was. He just showed up. Boy, ain't nothing like a supernatural presence when you've come out of battle showing up. Amen. What are some people of God going through some battles right now? I don't think I'm going to make it. Yes, you will. Being confident is very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. You will make it. Amen. And I'm glad that after you make it, God knows when to show up. The supernatural presence of Melchizedek, king of Salem, showed up. Notice the shared provisions. He didn't just show up. By the way, some people show up and don't have anything when they show up. I mean, there's a breed of believers today that love to show up empty-handed. And sometimes the people that bring nothing are the ones that eat the most. Somebody say amen. Boy, if you didn't have enough class to bring anything, have enough class not to eat too much. Amen. And yet Melchizedek didn't just show up. He showed up with something. Boy, I'm glad God knows how to show up and show up with something. He showed up with bread and wine. These were provisions. What do you mean? This is what Abram and those soldiers needed after a battle. They needed bread and wine. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. They had been in a battle. Listen to me now. They were on somebody else's turf. They were out of their own element. Listen to me. They were on somebody else's time, and yet God showed them, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, or what you're facing, I'll take care of you. Provisions. Notice the supreme priesthood. Tell us about Melchizedek. He's not just any priest, he's a priest of the Most High God. I mean, how much higher can you rank? I said a priest of the Most High God. You do understand that the priesthood in those days was one who stood in representation before God of man. You understand this now? The priest was the go-between. Somebody help me preach. The priest was the one that offered to God on the behalf of the people. Now listen now, guess who showed up for Abram after he came out of battle rescuing somebody who had gone astray? The priest of the Most High God. Notice the sovereign possession of this God. Tell us about him. He says, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Amen. Boy, God's in control. I said, God's in control. He possesses heaven and earth. You know what that means? This life and the next life. He's running things in both places. Amen. That's why we don't need to worry about what's going on. I'm not saying we shouldn't be vigilant, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be sober. By the way, every time we turn on the news and every time we look around us, there's another tragedy. There's another form of terror. There's another form of confusion. There's another form of disarray. And let me tell you something. If you trust in chariots, or you trust in horses, or you trust in kings, or you trust in presidents, or you trust in governments, or you trust in a political party, you're miserable. But you put your trust in God, he's doing just fine. He's the supreme possessor of heaven and earth. Abram needed to hear that. Those servants needed to hear that. The sovereign possession of God. Notice the showered proclamation of God. Blessed be Abram. There was a favorable grant. In other words, God's saying, you do my work and you do it even in the minority. I'm going to bless you. A favorable grant comes from a faithful God. Not only blessed be Abram, but blessed be the Most High God. By the way, I'm glad that God not only blesses us, but God says his name is blessed as well. I'm glad I serve a God whose name is above all names. I'm glad I serve a God who compares us to no other God who shares his glory with nobody else. And he says, blessed be Abram and blessed be the most. Listen, you serve God, you live for God, you honor God. God not only bless you, but he'll remind you that he's blessed too. Blessed be the Most High God. And then notice, if you would, the servant's presentation. The Bible says, and blessed be the Most High God, with which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. Amen. There was a favorable grant and a faithful God. There was fruitful gratitude. Don't you know what God did for you? By the way, if you ever are used by God to bring somebody back to God, don't you forget you were used, but God was doing it. Amen. So quit patting yourself on the shoulder and acting like you did something. Well, I just sit with pride as I've brought somebody back to God. No, you just were used. Amen. Let's set the record straight. God hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. God, if you sang, it's God doing it. Amen. If you preach, it's God doing it. If you minister, it's God doing it. If you live for him, it's God doing it. Amen. But don't miss this. And he gave him tithes of all. What chapter is this? What book is this? We haven't got to the Ten Commandments yet. Huh? But we've gotten to tithing. It means a tenth. I mean, be careful about stuff when it's first mentioned in the Bible. What do you mean be careful? Be careful to listen to it. That's what I mean. I don't be nervous about it. I mean, be nervous if you're not obeying it. Amen. It didn't just show up in the law. It showed up before the law. And it didn't stop with the law because it didn't start with the law. Amen. Pastor, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm saying you need to be tithing. Let's just keep it real simple. And don't get nervous when we start talking about tithing. We haven't even started talking about your money. The tithe is the Lord's. Amen. And it blows my mind at how people stagger. And we're blessed around here because we don't have, at least I don't hear about grumblings about tithing. I'm sure some grumble. But we're blessed around here that most people believe it and do it. But how in the world could you have a problem giving God something when he gave you everything? I mean, everything you got, Abram, you got from God. I mean, you really. You have a problem giving him back a part after he gave you it all? And he gave him tithes of all. God, you blessed me. God, you increased me. God, you provided for me. God, you put something into my care. And the Bible says the response of gratitude to the blessings of God was the presentation of the tithe. He learned that in Genesis 14. You reckon you ought to know it in November of 2017. Will a man rob God? Wherein have we robbed him? In tithe and offering. Bring you the tithe into the store. Where's the storehouse? You're sitting in it. It's God's program for the age of grace. It's the local New Testament church. We just heard her say God hadn't changed. Amen. Dispensationalism doesn't mean God changes. It just means God changes his method by which he works with mankind. Amen. And in this day, he was working directly with Abraham. And later, he worked through the law. And before that, he worked through conscience. And he worked through prophets. And then he came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ planted the local New Testament church. And the God of Genesis 14 is the same God today. But he is working through the organism called the local New Testament church. And that's how God's going to reach Northern Virginia and Costa Rica and everywhere else, when God called me in, we'll plant local New Testament churches full of people that believe God's not broke, but he's using them as catalysts and channels through which he can supply his means for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. It works. Sure it does. Abram's on a rescue mission. I would get into the last part of chapter 14, but I don't want to fool with that because I'd have to rush through it, and it's too important to rush through because it deals with the opportunity to compromise. See, I'm on some rescue missions right now. I mean, while we speak, I take a break from them, come to church. And when service is over, I'm going to go back to trying to pull some people from captivity. But I've also learned as a pastor that not only do I need to employ some people into rescue missions, amen, I need to restrict some from making them. Because some people ain't godly enough to save somebody. And the worst thing you ever do is send an immature Christian into the combat zone to save a wayward Christian. Not only will you not get the prodigal back, you'll lose the one that went in. And we're going to see next week that Abraham went in and he came out. Now tomorrow, every single one of us are going to go in the combat zone. By the way, you kids in Christian school, doesn't mean you're not going in. I'm in a Christian school. I'm sheltered from, you're sheltered from some things. You ain't sheltered from everything. Because where there is a flesh, there's the potential for everything. And some of your own classmates are walking away from God. They could be sitting in the rows with you tonight. God may have them on a senior trip not to see Washington, D.C. He may have them on a senior trip to get back in the will of God. Or a 10th grade trip. I saw them looking at each other. He just called us seniors. Oh. It was a homiletical blunder. You're a sophomore. 10th graders, right? I didn't go on no trips to the nations. Well, I was in the nation, but I didn't go on no trips to New York City or fancy when I was in 10th grade. Do the 11th graders get trips too? Do the 12th graders get trips? Wow. Well, I need to go back and take a trip. In retrospect, my Christian school gypped me. Somebody's got to go pull Lot out of a mess. And by the way, I'd hate to get ahead of myself, but Jesus might come back before I get to finish Genesis. Too many Christians that get pulled out of mess go back to Sodom. And it ought to have been that in Genesis 14, when Lot was rescued by Abraham, and by the way, he didn't rescue Lot from Sodom in Genesis 14. He rescued Lot from being taken captive out of Sodom. Okay, so understand the context. But it's not long before we go back and find Lot deeper in Sodom. And the scary thing about the mercies of God is sometimes they serve as a buffer, blinding Christian people to the judgment of God. And the more they get out, the more excused they think they are at going back in. If somebody risked their godly life to save you from a mess, the greatest way you could ever say thank you to them is by refusing to return back to that mess. And if you're a child of God and you're not on a rescue mission, here's my message to you. Stay in Canaan where God put you. Because there's coming a day where all those wars you never read up on and all those conflicts that never fazed you are going to hit somebody you care about. And all of a sudden, you're going to start watching the news down there where you never used to watch it because somebody that's your loved one is down there captive. And you better rest assured that if you've not been walking with God in Canaan when they get captive, you will not be the one that God uses to get them out. May God help us to be Christian people whose consistency before God would allow us to do some good looking out. Father, thank you. I I received a call this week from somebody begging me to help get somebody rescued. God, I don't ever want to be out of your will so that people won't even make that call. There are some Christian people that are enjoying their carnality, and it won't be until they get to heaven till they find out how many calls they never got because of that carnality. Help us, Lord, to stay right so we can help people who won't stay right. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God's spoken to you. Why don't you come to the altar tonight? You have a burden for anybody tonight? Fighting at the Christian life. I'm just going to drop my standards and drop my character and drop my... Okay. How you help your loved ones when they get away from God? You know, there's a price to pay for living for God. But it also comes with privileges. God bless you, young people. Bless your heart. Could God be at work on a Wednesday night? Get in a hurry. You pray till you finish. Boy, the good thing about walking with God is you get to walk with other people walking with God. And you can come to church on a Wednesday night and get your armed sisters and brothers. And sometimes it's not about a physical mission, but sometimes it's about using the offensive weapon of prayer. Isn't it good to be able to call sisters and brothers that you know walk with God and say, turn up the heat for this person, for this child, for this situation, for this me. Some Christian people in this building tonight to get a burden for somebody. Hey, if it's your family member, nobody should be more burdened for them than you are. I'm amazed at Christian people that are pour the gospel on strangers and won't dare share it with their own family. What are you going to say in the judgment seat? Abram had every reason to leave Lot out there to hang out to dry. But the moment he heard that rebellious nephew of his had been taken captive, he said, come on, boys, let's go get him. Let's go get him. Where's your birth? Bless these young people on the altar tonight. God, use them. Father, I pray, God, that you will have been pleased with what we've heard tonight, that you'll honor our commitment. God, I don't want to be one of them churches that goes so low to be like the world that we can't save anybody in the world. And I fear that we've got bigger churches and larger auditoriums and more people naming the name of Jesus and less Christianity because we've lowered the bar. Help us to stay straight for your glory, in Jesus' name, for his sake. All God's children said, amen.